across every state of India, across 125 countries, across political, religious, racial, geographic and linguistic divide, across social and cultural barriers. What compels millions to step forward and reach out to complete strangers in need? Since 1940, when the 14-year-old Satya declared his divine mission, a silent revolution has emerged from a heart that preaches only one language, that of unconditional love. Through his massive service projects, Bhagwan Baba has redefined spirituality as social activism, responsible charity and conscientious citizenship. Be it a service project in remote Andhra Pradesh or at a slum in Zimbabwe, volunteers from all backgrounds are transforming our world by serving in the name of Sai.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram and welcome to a new episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai. In this series, we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. Today's episode is part 2 of a 5-part conversation with Mr. Hari Shankar, an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who is currently working for the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust at Prashanthi Nilayam. In conversation with him is Radio Sai's Raghu, and this was first featured as part of Thursday Live during February 2015.
Dear listeners, loving Sai Rams, greetings. Well, if you are there with me previous week, I had the company of Brother Hari Shankar, and today again, Brother Hari Shankar is here with us. Sai Ram, brother.
Sai Ram, Raghu.
So last week, we discussed on the topic, Seva as an efficacious path to Swami. And as we have planned today, we are going to discuss on the topic, Seva as a means for inner development, right?
So the last time we looked at how it is a means of pleasing Bhagwan.
Yes.
But now we are looking at like, why did Bhagwan put us on this path of Seva? Mm. So Swami has offered this as a carrot, you know, and he dangles it in front of us such that we are attracted towards him, and he shows that this is the path.
Yes.
And we look at today, why is it that, you know, Swami as our guru, why has he chosen this path for us as a path of Seva? In what way does it contribute to our inner development?
Yeah, correct. In fact, Swami has said that when we serve others, actually we are serving ourselves.
Yes, right? Yes.
So let me just begin by narrating an incident that happened in 1990s when the Sri Satya Sai drinking water project was held for the district of Anantapur, which gave clean drinking water for millions of people.
Mm.
It seems after the water project was over, few of the beneficiaries from the district came to Swami to offer their gratitude to Bhagwan.
Mm.
So in one voice they told, thank you Swami, thank you for giving us the water to our home. And in fact Swami responded saying, don't thank me, instead I should thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this service.
Yes, yes. Many times, you know, we would tell Swami, you have taken a lot of pains. Inta shrama tiskunnaru. Shrama means hardship. And Swami would say, it is not shrama, it is prema.
Yes.
So I do this out of a feeling of love. And maybe you see it as difficulty, but the mother, when she does something for the child, she never looks upon it as hardship. It always comes from her love for the child. So Swami would say that, you know, I remember somebody asking Swami in an interview that, Swami, how come you have that much love for each one of us? And Swami says, see, like, I consider each one of you as a part of myself.
Yes.
Like a father loves a child because he looks at the child as really come from him, right? So, and for me, each one of you has come from me. That is why, that I have that kind of love for each one of you.
Mm. That's what Swami has said. I created myself in order to love myself.
Yeah, and he's very aware of that. You know, that's the awareness that we have to reach. You know, this may be one of the points we'll be discussing in the next segment in the coming week. We look at what is the attitude with which Bhagwan has asked us to do Seva. And today we'll be really looking into this as a means for inner development. And inner development would constitute our personality, like how we grow as a person inside, and also as a spiritual sadhana, how we grow in spirit itself, our very being, right? So one thing we need to really see before we start is that Swami has established seva as a bedrock of his institutions. In the Sri Satya Sai organizations, we've got three wings, right? We've got the education wing is there in the form of Balvikas, and there's the devotion, you could call it, bhajan mandalis, and then you got very, very importantly is the seva organizations. And additionally, Swami has also is inspired many youth groups in various states who they form part of the organization, but they work independently and they carry on Swami's seva activities in those cities. So it really is an important segment of the Satya Sai institutions. If you and I remember our days in the hostel as students, it along with the several other our academics and attending bhajans and all that in the evening, one important component of our stay at the hostel was the self-reliance work.
It used to happen every Sundays, right?
That is one part, but you know, running of the hostel also, was
each and every student will be involved in some department.
Running the hostel. Yes. Like I was in the dietary department. Mm. There were others who would be in the maintenance
department and homeopathy, all those.
All these various. It was an important component of our education over here, that being in service of others, and we could also look at Grama Seva.
Yes.
Yeah, so Swami instituted Grama Seva in 2000, and that has actually become part of the curriculum. The students, they go to the villages with clothes and food for the rural folk. Feature.
For me, when I was studying, Grama Seva was something which really attracted me.
Yeah,
something very unique. We go to the villages and see the real India, right?
That's right.
India
that's
lives right. in village. And
so we'll really
get
look
the
at
chance to see the condition of the people. Villagers.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll look at this why has Swami instituted this as a path for spiritual development?
Yes.
And a caveat before we actually get into the meat of the subject, I want to say this that this is not to be heard as that seva is the best way or the only way, and definitely it is by no means a commentary on how the path of seva is superior to other paths.
Two paths being the path of bhakti and
jnana. Okay, nor is this to say that it is exclusive of other paths. It's not that you do only seva, right? So sometimes people ask me this, like, is it merely enough to do seva? And I often think of what Swami said, and the answer that comes to me is like, can a car be driven with only the accelerator or only the brake or the clutch?
Yeah.
And at various points of time, and if I look at Swami's program of sadhana that he has established, the common program, it consists of a mixture of all three.
Yes, so, correct.
Yeah, you do have bhajan, and you do have listening to his discourse and ruminating over his teachings, and very important component that Swami laid down, that for anybody in the ashram, he recommended that you do not merely stay here, but also get into some form of seva. Mm. Like the last program, what I mentioned, this, that he, in one discourse, he had really hailed a person named Mr. Gopal Rao, who was the chairman of the Andhra Bank. And in the discourse, Swami mentioned how this person, even though he was aged, he took up a very small service in the canteen, but the entire day he would do this service of serving people water, those who came for the meal sessions in the canteen. So that's how in the ashram you got a spiritual development program which consists of all three.
Yes.
So it is not to say that this is an exclusive. So this is a perspective of how Swami held it as being a very effective means of sadhana. And one reason I would say is, any path that we take, the most important, the factor that really decides our spiritual development is the earnestness with which we take it up. Mm. If you see this life of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, you can see that He tells his devotees that I took up various forms of devotion. He would adopt the form of attitude of being a servant to the Lord. And Hanuman is the epitome of that attitude of devotion. And he says figuratively that my devotion was that intense that I almost grew a tail.
Okay.
And he would take any path, he would follow it with that much earnestness that it would naturally lead to its final destination, the outcome. So what this shows is that any path that we take up, the earnestness is very necessary, no matter what it is. In that sense, see, supposing we want to take up dhyana or we want to take up japa, and for many people, bringing that amount of concentration, that amount of mental energy, being able to summon that, it may not come very easily. So for such people, Swami really felt that the most appropriate means of sadhana would be to plunge into seva, plunge into societies.
And also, as you said, like other day when we were discussing, you said that if you see the bhakti mark and jnana mark, there we always like try to get something.
Yeah.
For example, in bhakti mark, we try to get the love of the love of Lord, and in jnana mark, we try to get
wisdom.
But in seva, we try to give, right?
Definitely, that is one thing. So in that sense, like, you know, many of us, we may not be able to do dhyana and japa the way it is meant to be done. And maybe that's one of the reasons. And I've definitely seen, you know, among youth, the kind of inner growth that takes place.
Yeah, correct.
And to give an example, there was a classmate of mine while I was studying in school. This was in Hyderabad. And I did not know that he was a Sai devotee. And at that time for us, it was academics that was that played a prominent role in our lives. So we didn't discuss so much about Swami or anything. And as it happened, see, the kind of person that he was not diligent in his studies. And he didn't like appear to be a person who took responsibility of his life. And definitely in that particular year, he did not get through to any of the engineering colleges. And so meanwhile, you know, I joined for my engineering studies in Chennai and life went on. And about 2 years later, I again met him. And to my surprise, this was at a Grama Seva camp that was organized by the Hyderabad youth. So I found both of us together on this trip. And he was coming for the Grama Seva for the first time. And to me, you know, 2 years had not brought any change in him. He was still that same, you know, I could call him irresponsible, that kind of person. He's taking life very lightly, with no regard to consequences. So I watched him, you know, during the course of the seva program. And again, a year later, when I met him, when I spoke to him, by that time he had become so immersed in the activities of the Hyderabad youth. Not just the Grama Seva, but the several activities they would take up in Hyderabad. And it was incredible. In that 1 year, this person had done a 180-degree shift in his life. He was taking such responsibilities in that organization. It had translated to several different areas of his life, at work, in his family, at different places. It was like a leadership quality which had remained hidden, you know, till then. It suddenly began to express itself. And I can only see that how Swami, out of his grace, he showed him this path, no?
Yes.
That join this path of seva, and you'll see a different personality that blooms, a personality that can contribute to people around.
Yeah, correct. In fact, when you are saying about this, I was just reminded of a drama which was enacted in front of Swami in Cyclone Thal. I think this was by the devotees from the Indian side of Bihar a few years back when Swami was there. So the drama was about the Sri Satya Sai Village Integrated Program.
I see.
SSS VIP. So in the drama, one father and son will be there. And the son will be just like, he'll be very irresponsible and he won't be so spiritual. He'll be very worldly and he will think of becoming great. Then father will ask, see my boy, what do you want to become in life? Then he will say, I want to become a VIP, very important person. Father was a Sai devotee and he wanted his son also to do some service, just like his father, in go to some villages and see the condition of villages. In fact, his son had few friends who were Swami's devotee, and they used to go to some Gram Seva. Mm-hmm. So he told his son, you just go with your friends to some villages and just do what they're doing. Mm. Just do the work that they are doing in the villages. So his son was not so much interested, but with a lot of reluctancy, he just accompanied his friend. He thought, okay, let me just go 1 week and spend some time with them. And he just went to the village and saw the work that is being happening to the villagers, and he came back, and there were a lot of changes in him. He told his father, Dad, next week also I'm going to do this.
Oh.
I'm going to join my friends. In fact, it was not just 1 or 2 weeks. He continued the activity for many weeks. And maybe after a year or so, after getting involved in this Gram Seva, again his father asked him, now you say, son, what do you want to become? In fact, he said, Dad, now I want to become a double VIP.
Uh-huh.
And the father was a little taken aback. Oh my God, what is he saying? Double VIP, very, very important person. What is this? Then the son explained, no, Dad, double VIP means VIP, VIP. That is very involved person in village integrated program.
Right.
So see the changes.
Right.
That is just by going and seeing. In fact, he just went and saw the activities, and then he was also involved.
Yeah, and in that sense, it really is a blessing to the youth, no, to be put on the path of service.
Mm.
And Swami actually, in a discourse, he did mention this, and he said the age span, 16 to 30 years, is very crucial. For that is the period when life adds sweetness to itself.
Mm.
When talents, skills and attitudes are accumulated, sublimated and sanctified. And Swami went on to say, if the tonic of unselfish service is administered to the mind during this period, life's mission is fulfilled.
Okay.
He says if at this period in time, that 16 to 30, when if we give this to the mind, we treat it with this, with seva, with the method of seva, then life's mission itself is fulfilled. For the process of sublimation and sanctification will be hastened by this tonic.
Mm.
So he says that at that age, if we get into this path of seva, then that's when a lot of, you know, like this, he said, the talents, skills and attitudes that get sublimated and sanctified, mm, that process itself gets hastened.
Mm.
So yes, that's why it is very important for youth to get into the, yes, path of seva.
And the Satya Sai Seva organization, it acts like a very good platform, mm, to devotees and people to involve in activities. In fact, I would like to narrate one more story which very clearly shows how a guy who was in the verge of death got, uh-huh, transformed because of one small activity, service activity. You may be knowing Dr. Upadhyay from UK.
Yes,
yeah, he is an ophthalmologist, and he conducts a lot of medical camps all around the world.
All over the world,
doing free cataract surgeries to people.
Hmm.
So once he was in UK, and there was one man, Bob, and he was very much depressed and disappointed with his life because his wife passed away and he lost his job. He had decided to end his life. He had decided to commit suicide.
Hmm.
And many of his friends were just consoling him, Bob, don't do this. There is life. You have to come out of this depression. Don't be depressed. But Bob never listened to his friends.
Hmm.
So then some people, they spoke to Dr. Upadhyay, and they told, please doctor, speak to this guy, Bob, he wants to end his life, try to console him, something. Then Dr. Upadhyay said, okay, you get him to me. So Bob went to Dr. Upadhyay, and in the beginning itself, Bob told the doctor, see doctor, I have decided to end my life, you don't interfere in my activity. Then doctor said, see Bob, it's okay, you have decided, but I want a favor from you before you end your life.
Mm.
Then Bob asks, okay, what is that? So doctor says, see Bob, in Bosnia, in the country of Bosnia, war is going on. So there is one particular group, refugees, who don't have food and water. And we have collected truckloads of food with us and some dressing materials and medicines. But nobody is ready to drive the truck to that area, because a lot of bombing is happening. It's a full war zone. So everybody is scared to drive the truck.
Yeah.
Can you do it?
Yes. Using his intention very powerfully. Yeah.
Just do this before you end your life. Then Bob said, okay, I can do that. So he drew the one truckload of materials to that area. And when he just reached that area, and people who were waiting for some help. So this Bob got down, and they were very happy, and in fact they carried Bob in their shoulders and they hailed him as God himself. Oh, thank you Bob, you are like God to us, and all those things. And seeing these things, Bob was just very happy, and he went back, and in fact he drew one more truckload of materials to them. And so the same things happened.
That's a complete turnaround. Yeah, no?
And after that, Bob, who had decided to end his life, he was transformed, and he decided to lead a life.
Yeah. This reminds me of something that had happened when I was young. A lady in our close to where we were staying, she had a very a tragic some circumstances in her life, and her son had committed suicide and all that. So she came to our house about 2-3 days after that. She came to our house, and I didn't want to meet, face her, because I knew the tragic thing that had gone through. I didn't know how I could deal with that. And my mother immediately, she called her and she said, oh, come. There's some work to be done. Like there's some vibhuti packets that had to be packed. Come get into that.
Okay.
And there's no words spoken about. She didn't offer any sympathy, nothing of that sort. After 1 hour of doing that vibhuti packing, that I could see that lady's that mood, it had completely lifted. Now I felt comfortable that I could go and speak to her about normal things.
Okay, nice.
Later my mother said, when any time you find a person who is down for any reason, they're feeling depressed about something, the best tonic to give them is seva. At that moment of that giving happiness, that wellspring of happiness inside you is touched.
Yeah.
So that,
when, because of seva, the beneficiaries, they become happy, and seeing them being happy, we also
definitely
become happy.
Yes, and that's why I think, we were talking about grama seva. This is an important component of students' curriculum here in either the university or the school. So of the many things that I think a student takes away from that particular activity is this very important quality called empathy.
Yes.
Now, for many of us, most of our lives, actually we are so obsessed with just what we want or what we don't want, our likes, our dislikes, what we love, what we hate. If you look, our entire life is just composed of trying to pander to that. Living our life through, between these likes and dislikes and hates and loves. Because of that, we are not really able to reach out to the people around us. We are not aware of what people around us need. And Swami gives us that ability of being able to locate ourselves in somebody else's life, in the life of a villager. Now, what is he going through? Are we even aware of that, of their situation? And because of this, one thing that becomes very closely allied to that is this quality of sensitivity. To youth. You
become more sensitive to others' suffering.
Exactly. That the biggest thing is we are cured of that obsession with ourselves. And that brings a lot of, and see the many different ways it manifests in our own lives. Just to take a practical example, if you look at the number of conflicts, the number of times when we have heated exchanges of words between people, you'll often find the reason is that there's a lot of misunderstanding. People have maybe even misread the situation. One reason could be that they have not really been able to look at it from the other person's point of view.
Yes.
What does it look like for him? That it just takes 2 minutes. And I think that Swami instills that kind of habit in us through this project of Grama Seva.
In fact, Grama Seva is really a very good positive plus point for Sai students. Because in other colleges and schools, if you see outside in cities, they don't get this chance to go to villages, right?
That's right.
So they will be always in that worldly life, in that city life. They can't, as you said, see from others' perspectives. They can't see from villagers' perspective, what they are undergoing, what suffering they are undergoing.
Yeah.
So even for Sai students also, when they graduate from the institute, they go out and they get involved in service activities.
Definitely. Like I know two of my classmates, my batchmates, and after passing out, they've been enormously successful in their work life. But at the same time, every week they support one of the schools in Chennai. It was a school which is run for poor people, run completely free of charge, and they have been supporting it in innumerable ways, and also a facility for the mentally challenged. You know, they've been working towards providing facilities, enhancing facilities for that. And I've seen this in many of my classmates. Like one group actually which is working in a bank, they undertook a project as a part of their that bank CSR, you know, Corporate Social Responsibility Initiative, that won a worldwide award of all the projects done by various employees in that of that bank across the world. This particular project had won an award maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Nice.
It was run by the Sathya Sai students in that particular branch.
Now let's talk about that having a purpose. Yesterday we were discussing, right?
We were talking about how important it is for giving youth a kind of purpose or direction in their life and what it does to them. You can look at it in so many different ways. One thing is, at that point of time in a person's life, he's looking for some kind of meaning. You know, what does all this mean? What do I do in life? And if there is any purpose that I can latch on to. But at that age, it is very important to give people some kind of direction.
Mm.
And if you go around in life, they're looking for role models, right? And the kind of role models that society now presents to them, it is really something that is of concern to us. And it is at that point of time that Swami presents this opportunity called Seva.
Mm.
Right? And that immediately gives a purpose. Now, what does purpose do to a person? There is this author called George Bernard Shaw. And he wrote this book called Man and Superman. And I'd like to quote from that.
Yeah.
Or actually paraphrase from that. So, he asserts that true joy in life is got by being used for a purpose recognized by us as a mighty one.
Mm.
Instead of being a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances. Right? That's us, no? We always so obsessed with what we are going through.
Yeah.
Our body and our mental states. And he goes on to say, life is no brief candle. So the way life occurs to us, it's not a brief candle. It is a splendid torch.
Mm.
Which I have got hold of for this moment. The kind of privilege that it is life itself. And he says, I want to make it burn as brightly as possible. You refer to yourself as something that is available for society.
Mm.
As a contribution. And you want to burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to your future generations. That is inspiring thing. If you look at our super speciality hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
And Swami could have set up a hospital that would earn revenue just like any other and just added the component called serve your patients with love. But Swami made it very clear that he's taking on something which maybe mankind has never really attempted.
Mm.
That can we set up a tertiary medical care facility for really bringing healthcare to the poorest of the poor?
Yes, yes.
And that's a very, very big purpose. Even if you look at the water project, it's something unheard of.
Mm.
That a private charitable organization takes on an activity of that magnitude where you bring water to people who've been suffering so much, who've been voicing their concerns so much, but nobody really cared for them. They were, in that sense, insignificant.
Yeah.
And that is a purpose. See, the way it energized all of us. All Sai devotees, the way we got together, contributed in so many different ways to that purpose. What a change it brought in all of us.
In fact, Swami's projects are like role models for others to act. And also in their own places.
Yeah.
That's why the Sai devotees, seeing Swami's hospital, they conduct a lot of medical camps. And also now a lot of water projects are going on around the world by different Sai devotees. And talking about purpose, you also yesterday told the analogy of drawing a line, right?
Yeah. So one brilliant way of looking at it, somebody illustrated this. He said, all our life, what we are doing is this. We have drawn a line on a chalkboard, right? And we keep looking at it and we say that this is a line that represents our problems. And all our life, all we are doing is trying to erase that line or make it as small as possible. And our practical experience tells us that if you erase one part, suddenly magically it grows somewhere else. So the length of that line seems to be almost a constant. And then Swami gives us this opportunity. He says, okay, you want to make that line smaller? I'll show you a way. And Swami says, you draw a line, a bigger line next to that line. And that is it.
It looks smaller.
Automatically your line has become smaller. Yeah. Now what is that bigger line? That bigger line is the larger purpose. Is a purpose that is bigger than yourself. It could be the purpose of maybe ending hunger in the world. Or alleviating poverty. The moment your life is taken over by a purpose like that, of making a difference to people's life, of bringing transformation to people's life, at that very moment, you stop being obsessed with your own little problems.
Yeah.
Like I remember a person that I know, so he was leading a transformation program somewhere. And he said that it was not the content of that particular program, it was not the content really that brought about the transformation, it was the way he delivered it. And the way he delivered it was this, the circumstances. What had happened was that he had a slip disk. And, you know, if you and I, we have a slip disk and we are asked to lead a program for 3 whole days, what would we say? We'd say that, no, we can't do this. But he said, no, it is possible. And you will not believe, he has delivered this program lying down on a bed. There's a group of about 100 participants.
Okay.
To them, he led the program for 3 days, for 14 hours a day, just lying down. And he says, most of the participants, they got the intention of the program by this. You know, if you're trying to show somebody that it is that nothing is impossible, a person gets the first demonstration of that with this.
Yeah.
So, what happened here was he had a purpose. He had a purpose called, I want to transform these people. And he had an internal state called, my back is paining and I am in so much distress. I want to go and sleep. But that purpose called him to, you know, overcome all that, to overlook all that and deliver his intention of transformation.
Yeah, correct.
So that's the purpose. That's the kind of magic that it creates.
In fact, if somebody gives a speech and tells others to always be happy, and if in the audience, if somebody is there, if somebody is facing a lot of problems, then he will think, okay, I have seen so many problems. You don't have any problems, and just like that you're talking.
If
you have problems, then what you will say?
Absolutely.
But if somebody who has a lot of problems in life, if he says to others that you should always be happy, and if
that is
happy,
the most, then, yes, that is the most powerful effect. When I can see a live demonstration of that.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, this opportunity of creating a purpose is always there. Right. If you look at even the work that a person normally does, let's take finance. So for most people, actually, they look upon finance as an area where you're looking at how much you can earn out of, even you're recommending a form of investment to somebody else. Is still your eye is on, okay, how much do I make out of this transaction? But really, if we could create that area called finance as an opportunity for creating abundance for people around us. You know, I have seen the kind of change that it brings, you know, and the kind of energy that it brings to the particular job. That if, now you just rephrase it, saying that I want to create abundance in other people's lives. And at that moment, your job itself becomes so sacred.
Yeah, nice.
You no longer need to, you know, be behind people's back and say that, no, you have to follow ethics, you have to do finance with integrity. It becomes, you know, subsumed in that. It comes so automatically with a flow. The moment you say, I got to create abundance in people's lives, that is my focus, not creating profits. In fact, a few days ago, I just reading this up. So a person is asking like that he wants to further his career in finance, and what are different ways of looking at it. And this person says that what I really enjoy about this particular job is it creates a positive externality for the capital markets. Like the, just merely he looks upon his job as a contribution that makes the whole society being having a better economic or financial life. The moment he looks at it that way, he's energized. The job, really, I think every morning you'd imagine that he's able to wake up immediately and, you know, he doesn't have to wonder about what am I doing at work today.
Yeah, You are bringing a nice point here.
Yeah.
This shows that, as Swami has said, work itself is worship and
exactly.
duty is God.
That is the reason why Swami brought this point so much. In fact, Raghu, I'll tell you, every year almost, all the students who studied at Swami's institutions and are now working in his institutions here, we used to congregate with Swami on a particular day. He would call all of us sometimes to the Purnachandra Auditorium or in the Bhajan Hall. But there have been so many occasions when we ask Swami, guide us in the path of sadhana. And you know what Swami would say? He's saying, I have given you work.
Mm.
Your work, that itself is your sadhana. Itself,
right.
Just remember for whom you are working. That is all that is required.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Shall we continue this next week on the same
topic? Yeah,
the
next week then we'll continue a little bit on this particular topic called Seva as a Means for Inner Development. Mm. And we will talk a little bit about how the attitude with which we do this Seva, drawing completely from Swami's discourses and guidance given by Swami at various points of time. Mm. I think with that we'll be completing
we'll
that
start again
segment.
Next week.
Yes.
So dear listeners, so next week again you can join us and we'll continue to talk on this same topic as brother told, that Seva means for inner development, and we will add on to that. Well, if you have any comments, suggestions and feedback on this, and if you have any questions on this path of Karma Marga, the Seva, service to society, please mail us. You can mail us at listener@radioside.org. So placing this segment at Bhagavan's lotus feet, myself and Brother Harishankar sign off for today.
Sai Ram. You just heard an episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai, in which we brought to you part 2 of a 5-part conversation with Mr. Harishankar, an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who is currently working for the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust at Prashanthi Nilayam. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Raghu, and this was first featured live as part of Thursday Live during February 2015. Dear listener, please do send us your feedback and comments. We look forward to your mails. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.